The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Claff for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Claff. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Claff.
Good evening, this is Stan Claff. And today is day 70 of the lockdowns, 70 days since lockdown. And the most significant part of the entire lockdown is that people are not earning, people are not getting food and clothing. And this is a very important time to be stepping up the efforts to try and feed people. And I'm sure that this is going to continue for some time. And to that end, I have guests tonight, Glenn Wallman from the Angel Network, Dominic Schilly from the Mshengu Foundation, and Julian Elson from Planet Fitness, who organizes events to try and assist in raising funds wherever we can. So we're going to kick off. The evening is donated by the Hebrew Order of David, and it's designated as its objective to try to give some publicity to these events, to try to get involved. And also the Hebrew Order of David is planning to get involved on a level, and we'll discuss that a little bit later. But welcome to the three of you, Dominique, Julian, and Glenn. And Glenn, would you like to kick off and give us background to the Angel Network? I'm sure a lot of people do know about it, but it does no harm to reinforce the information out there.
Thank you, Stan. Thank you for inviting us this evening, and hello to all the listeners. The Angel Network is a voluntary non-profit organization that's been going for the past 4.5 years. Initially, we started as a platform to give a hand up and help people who needed help because the need was so great. Currently, obviously, with COVID-19, everything's changed, and it's all about giving handouts to prevent people from dying of starvation.
Absolutely. Okay, and so now, Dominic, Glenn, let's go back a sec. Then you founded the CAN system. So can you highlight that, and then we'll talk to Dom, who's one of the leading CAN organizers, and chat to him about what it's all about. But then just give us some background to the CAN, what do you call the CAN network.
Okay, I'd love to take credit for having started it. Unfortunately, I didn't. It's a phenomenal initiative that began in Cape Town a few months ago with COVID-19, and we just brought it to Johannesburg. And it's the Angel Network. It's Gauteng Together, Connect, and the Angel Network, who formed an alliance to bring CANs to Johannesburg. CANs stand for Community Action Networks. And at its most basic, it really is about pairing a group of people who want to help with a group of people who need help. So, for example, people can start a CAN based on their shul community, their school, their suburb, their complex, their road, any way they'd like, and they form a collective. And they get paired, they join up with a beneficiary, in this case, the Benmore CAN, which being so well run by Nicole Katz and a number of other people who are assisting her. And they were paired up with Dominique. And so then Nicole will establish from Dominique what his most urgent needs are. In this case, I think it was food and blankets. And then their CAN will set about trying to fulfill these needs. And they've worked phenomenally well together. I know Dom will tell you how unbelievable this Benmore CAN has been for his group in Kaya Sands.
So each CAN is an entity on its own, run with its own committee, run with its own team. And it also is allowed to have one beneficiary, which also operates with a team leader, and they do the distribution, but the CAN itself collects all the goods and for distribution, and all the money, I guess, to be distributed. Is that am I on the button?
Absolutely, that's exactly how it works. And then, for example, we now it's all run under the auspices of Gauteng Together, and so we do have a big CAN admin group, and all the CANs are part of that on WhatsApp and on email. And so, for example, Nicole's CAN has had phenomenal response in terms of collections, money-wise, and blankets and food. And so she's seen on some of the admin chats, for example, there's been a can into Kosa that desperately needed help. And then we collectively try and help that can. So in other words, if you've got one can that's flourishing and you've got another can that's battling, then the one that's doing so well can often try and help the other can if possible.
Okay, so Dominic, you're going to give us an explanation of the can, which you have, I suppose you've called it the Mshengu Foundation, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Hi. Thank Hi. You very much. Yes, and good evening to everyone, good evening to the listeners, and thank you for pulling me through to be part of this initiative this evening. Yes, with due credit that I'd love to give to Clan Woman, I can say she's an amazing person who sort of like got me involved into the whole can thing, because she's always rallied and she's always like supported my cause, because I'm all for children. And she paired me with an amazing administrator by the name of Nicole Katz. And with her, we've done tremendous, we've done amazing stuff. Well, just to add on to that, as we started when the lockdown started, I started with maybe say 70, because we didn't know how much and where we were going with it. And until, you know, she called for more funds and she called for more clothes. We have sort of within the can that she runs under the Banmo community, we have on a daily basis been saving like what we call cooked foods, like 500, 250 akids. And then maybe we've got a plus or minus maybe say 300 adults. That includes both males and females. That's your men and women. And we also been catering for the women that have recently given birth. That is also our very special passion that we have, that we do on a monthly basis. If we find out that a lady has given birth, we try by all means to collect clothes for them, give them food, toiletries and all that. And the elderly and the frail. So we have grown from that 50 that we started from the beginning to sort of like helping a lot from our community, which is Kaya Sands Bridgetown. So it's amazing stuff that Nicole and their team are doing, and I'm absolutely enjoying working with such amazing people with such an unwavering spirit. Yeah.
So your can is based in the Kaya Sands area.
It's Kaya Sands area, Bridgetown. It's called Bridgetown because we separated by a road called Agnes. So we've got quite a lot of people in the squatter camps, but then I dealt with mine. This one, it's called Bridgetown because that's where I have a lot of children there, women that are pregnant or women that have got small babies or newly born babies, the elderly and the frail and the youth as well. Yeah. Not to forget to mention that as well.
So, Gillian, you've come in as a sponsor for the event that's going to take place on Sunday. It's going to be, I suppose, highlighting Dominique's activities, but also raising funds and getting contributions to make sure that this initiative of Dom's is sustainable and ongoing, because you know, these things can be a flash in the pan, but it sounds like there's an infrastructure there that really needs sustaining. So can you come in and just give us why Planet Fitness would want to get involved and tell us more about the event?
Good evening, Stan, and good evening to all the listeners. Thank you so much for having me on air with you tonight and with the members from CAN. Absolutely, there's a huge need out there in various communities at the moment that are going through some really, really tough times. And it's impossible right now to do activities face-to-face during lockdown. So we've had to come up with some innovative ideas to help organizations raise funds. And those specifically like Dominique's organization and the CAN that desperately need support, particularly to feed starving children. At Planet Fitness, we love being able to give back to the community and to see that funds are raised and put to really worthy causes such as this one. supporting local charities and causes has always been at the heart of Planet Fitness's culture. And we regularly participate in many charity events and hold fundraisers for causes very close to our heart. Most of those events are usually face-to-face, but since lockdowns arrived, we've had to come up with some really creative ideas, and we've then taken this event particularly online. So on Sunday, we're going to be holding a virtual event, and that event where we encourage people to participate. It's a fitness event, so we've got a number of fitness activities that appeal to the whole family, and we've got huge prizes that we're giving away. I think the prize packet at the moment is just over 20,000 rands worth of prizes that we've been able to get to encourage people to participate in the live online event. And three fitness events that we're going to be doing and aimed at various levels of fitness, such as a walk, high intensity, and in the middle with Can You Workout. So we've called it Can You Workout. And that's what we plan to do on Sunday. And we really encourage families to take part because it's a lot of fun for everybody, even though it's online.
So just I looked through the program, and it looks like it's an hour and a half to 2 hours of exercise, and I'm just wondering if you shouldn't collect the money of the donations beforehand, because I don't know if some of these people will make it to the end. 30 minutes walk, a 30-minute dance. I don't think I could dance for 5 minutes. A 30-minute another workout with Denise, Justine, and this is quite a big, and Erica, this is quite a big, event, and you know, if you, they have to pay to join, right?
Absolutely. So the tickets cost 80 rand, and we've used the Quicket platform to collect tickets. And once they've purchased a ticket, they can either purchase a ticket to participate, or they can use the same platform to make a donation. And yes, the exercises are aimed at all levels, so everybody would be encouraged to participate at their own pace and their own level, so that they are still very much well after the event, so that they can give us those donations.
Yes, so besides the entry fee, though, that's a given, but then they're free to donate further online on your website. So tomorrow morning, I'll be circulating. I'm just waiting for the system to be set up completely. But tomorrow morning, we'll send out a notice to our database to get them to participate. Which will, you know, and on that there will be the links to be able to click on it and donate and so on. Yeah, I did send me the flyer earlier, so we'll try and give you as much publicity as we can. What are you hoping to raise out of this, or is that an open-ended question? You just don't know.
It is to an extent open-ended. I think we put a number down of around 50,000, if we can, because I think that will go an enormous way towards helping many of these people in the community. And
that's what you want to get from the 50,000. You want to get from each participant, right?
From each participant and more, if we can. I think the needs out in those communities are absolutely enormous, and I don't think many people absolutely realize how huge those needs are. And every little bit of contribution goes a long, long way. And I'm sure Dominique will tell you, and so will Glenn tell you, that every little rand that people put in can put a plate of food on somebody's table. So I think with the circumstances that we face as a country at the moment, unprecedented circumstances, the needs are really big, and therefore we need to raise as much as we can to try and help them get through this difficult time.
So Dominic, come in here and give us a sense of scale of your operation. What is it that you need? How many people are you feeding? You did mention the numbers, but I think it's worth mentioning again. Just give us a sense of the scale of this, of what you're doing.
Starting from the morning, we do open the kitchen to basically serving the children first, because that is our main concern, because with a lockdown, most of the children are not going to school. So we start off like having with the bread and the soup, which, well, It's enough for now, but then, you know, children will always want more. We will have it in the morning, starting from around 8, but at 10, we'll need something for them as well, which we would sometimes cut, and we don't have enough of it. And then there's lunch time for them, which is a basic nutritional plate that will have veggies and maybe a starch and a fruit, or maybe sometimes when it's before we're into winter, we'll give them something like a juice or water, which we don't normally have all the time. Then in the evening, like at around 5-ish, we also like to give them something as well, which we don't have. So we have to cut that into half so that we can have for tomorrow. So which is a bit strenuous for us to sort of like fully have an operational kitchen that can cater for all that much. But our kids are increasing every day. We started with, like I said, it was now, the number is now up to 500. Then we've got the elderly, we've got the frail. We can't say no to them because they always come to the queues and it's getting cold and there's absolutely nothing. There are no food parcels, and that's where our issue is, and that's where we find the burden is carrying us forward.
And they come to queue up, and it's a takeaway, or they sit down and eat it there?
The children, we have to make sure that they sit down so that nobody takes anything. We don't trust, you know, with kids, it has to be a sit down. They have to be monitored, making sure that they have their mask on, they're sanitized. We're trying to sort of like follow the protocol of what the lockdown is calling us to do so that we do things the right way, because we always have visitors from the department to see that we are serving the children well and we are doing it correctly. So we do the sit down with the children, but when it comes to the adults, we ask them to bring their lunch tins, their scarf tins and stuff like that. We put in their tins and then they go home. But basically the children, we sort of, I've created a space for them that they be catered for, and they sit down at the center where I have the kitchen.
Is this a building that you're occupying, or?
It's a building it's a building, yes. It used to be sort of like a clubhouse, and within the area that these people stay in this community. Then I spoke to them and I said, where I use the place since it's locked down, they use it for their, I don't know, their social gatherings and stuff like that. But I asked them to say if I could use it in terms of helping out, then they offered me to, so that I can use it as part of the center.
So your needs from the community at this moment, we're talking now at the moment food, but I guess it goes further than that, because probably some of these people are coming into winter. But it is winter.
Yeah,
it's a bit chilly. And I suppose you're looking for clothes, whatever you can get.
Yes, absolutely. That's true. Yes. I'm looking for clothes. Blankets. And heaters, maybe sometimes, if that could be possible, heaters. And I'm looking for actually even a bigger stove so that we can cook more than us having to switch off the stove and take things off the bigger pots. And we're sharing whatever we're doing, because it's, who can give us what we have now so that we can
use. Are these kids going to school soon, or is that phased in approach? We don't know what it will mean, but at the moment these kids are in lockdown, so they haven't been going. So basically this is their only deal. They're not getting food.
No, exactly. Yes. They haven't been getting food since the lockdown. And most of them I have from all ages, like your one up to, I stop at 17, like calling them as children. Yes. One up to 17. So those are the ones that I make sure that they have a sit down. So that's one up to 17, from your age one up to 17 years old.
Really, from that, such a young age, one. How do they come there? With their parents, with their siblings?
Well, now, because we started from the beginning of the lockdown, some they come with siblings. We have like maybe 5 in a family, 4 in a family. They come with their brothers and sisters, the ones that are really, really young, the toddlers. Then the ones that are 5 and above, they come by themselves. We sit them down. I have a system that I use that everybody sits according social distancing. We cross our legs so that I know who sits where, who's not here, who's there. So that if in case we know that a particular child hasn't come, then there must be a problem. We have to go and find out from their houses why they didn't come to get food. Maybe they are feeling not well, or they are sick or something like that. Then we have a database that I keep, that I mark sort of like a register to see who's in, who's not in, so that we can cater for everybody every day.
Do you have staff helping you? I mean, volunteers, or are they paid, or?
I have, Yes, I have volunteers at the moment that are helping me with preparing the meals, like from the morning until evening, and they're not getting paid at all. So those are the ones that are my day-to-day that I help sort of like come up with menus because I basically like to see children eating like nutritional food, having a nutritional diet every day. So that includes our vegetables. That's where Glenn comes in. And make sure sometimes that we get the proper stuff from the people that she connects me with. That is, if there's any for that week.
So, Julia, Glenn, let me ask Glenn. This is probably typical of the type of establishment that is that is how each can is set up. Is it, or are they varying in numbers and in size?
They do vary in size, and Dom has got such a wonderful operation running. I must just let you know that when we met Dom and started working with him probably 3 years ago, he was looking after 45 children in his spare time in the afternoons. Just, it was an aftercare center that he had informally set up with no help from anybody, with no assistance, with no pay. He just helped kids in the community who needed some help with schoolwork. He would try and prepare a meal for them on the smell of an oil rag, I might add. We would send him stationery when we could, blankets in winter, beanies and scarves for the kids, desks and chairs if we could help, and food. But he's gone from helping 45 school children to helping probably close to 1,000 adults and children. So he's really been thrown in the deep end. But yes, all cans. I mean, there's some cans where they're just helping people in, and we are having to send food parcel house to house. And yeah, Dom has certainly got something very structured, organized. It's working brilliantly.
So is there a list of these cans that one can go to if somebody wanted to donate? Or right, we understand Dom is one, but there's a list of a number of lists. So where is that list, and how do people get to that list?
They can donate. So they can go onto our website and they can contact anyone from the Angel Network. And they can also go on, sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like you're swimming. I'm not sure.
No, I'm not doing anything differently. I don't know why it's changed.
Okay. Carry on.
They can go onto the website gautengtogether.org, where they'll be able to see, they can actually register. Why don't you start a can? Why doesn't the HOD start a can, Stan?
You're jumping the gun, but we are intending to start from next week a can at the HOD Center. We need to register and get together with you on the logistics. We will be distributing. We thought we could do it on the basis of the number of lodges that we have, could each sort of form a can, so we can do a bit of a wider distribution. We have already collected some items which we were going to distribute, but nowhere near in the ballpark of what we're talking here. So when I hear Dominique telling you or telling us the numbers and the size of this, you know, I talk about the Angel Network, and this is a place where angels fear to tread because the numbers seem massive.
No, but the thing is, it starts off small. I can tell you that, and Dom will vouch for this, that when they started, one starts off small. And then you grow and you know, and then as Dom says, more and more people will arrive and you suddenly find a way to stretch 10 rand and turn it into 100 rands worth of food, and mm-hmm. and one just suddenly makes it work, you do.
Yeah.
So the Hebrew Order of David has been doing, we've been doing a particular project which we distribute at the high holidays to those in need twice a year or three times a year. We raise funds. We call it Bringing Yontif of Joy, which is and we try to give it. We've been doing it now for somewhere between 30 and 40 years. I mean, the Hebrew Order of David is over 100 years old. We've been operating in this fashion. Mm-hmm. We have presence in Cape Town, Durban, P, East London, and Brakpan, Benoni, and of course Sandton and Johannesburg. So we were well set to do this. We have been distributing funds to various organizations who are in need, but we'd like to extend that into a bigger project. We have a facility at the HIV Center where stuff can be dropped. It's at in Oakland's Road. I'll give the full address. We have security guards. We have staff there who could collect it, pack it, and so on. We also have some volunteers who are prepared to give us transport to transport to various areas. So we wouldn't distribute from the center because there are other security issues, but we would like to distribute to organizations like the Mshengu Foundation, Dom, and I'm sure there's a myriad of those organizations out there who would be happy, and we would be happy to support in some way. And I rely on you as the Angel Network to point us in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. We'd love it.
And so we would also be able to add some publicity to the process because we have quite extensive database, and we can really get out there and publicize it in the same way we'd like to help, the event that you're having in Benmore, you know, the Benmore event, I should say, on Sunday. We'll give some publicity to that, and, you know, we'd like to, I'm not sure if I'm going to get involved in the exercise part, but I might.
Oh, come on. Stand on, Stan. We'll put your screen on so that we can all see you.
Listen, over these holidays, no, that will be disastrous. The lockdown period, I've gone into triathlons. I'm having a full breakfast, full lunch, and a full supper, so.
That's fantastic. You also know
you're one of the lucky ones, eh?
Yeah, very.
But actually, now that Dominique was telling us what he does and the amount of food that he doesn't have to distribute, I'm actually not looking forward to supper so much anymore. And I hope people out there are getting the message that like they always say, don't criticize the farmer with your mouthful. And in this case, you know. This is an amazing setup, and I think I don't think that it's underestimated anyway. But there are home truths which are coming out now in the numbers of people involved and how it's going to happen. The question is, what is going to happen going forward? How long is this going to go on for? Because clearly, you know, it's going to take a while for us to get back to some sort of normality. So let's go over the first step is this Benmore event, which is going to take place on Sunday. We'll send out the notice. You could give, at the end of the show, we'll give a bit of a moment to be able to give the email addresses or phone numbers or links to whichever, like the Angel Network at the site. Glenn, let's go back to the Angel Network. So how many of these cans are they operating? Sort of, let's just try and get a handle on the numbers.
Okay, they're probably currently in Gauteng, in Johannesburg, I'd say they're probably about 80, and I think probably close to 40 are being run within our community. So that is the Angel Network. It's almost under the umbrella of the Angel Network. They were started through the South African Jewish Board of Deputies and the Angel Network that got involved to bring people together to start their own cans. And together, right. I would say those 40 cans are probably looking after about 50,000 people.
Yeah, I would say if you're talking about 1,000 at each place, 40 is probably in the ballpark of 50,000 people. Mm-hmm. That now, does this also help? Does this help? Will this continue into the school times and so on? Will there be an overlap because people are coming?
We are hoping to make this sustainable. We certainly don't want. We don't want it to be about just feeding, here we fed you, we're leaving now because things are back to normal. Mm-hmm. We would love it to become sustainable, where we actually move into the next phase, where we are able to help, as Dom says, the kids over 18, maybe help them with CVs, help them to find jobs, work with them in terms of mentorship and internships and develop the community and not just be there to feed them and then walk away. We are trying our best, we are hoping, and I think it's working tremendously in a lot of areas where there's a proper relationship being formed We've got other cans. They're doing soup kitchens, and they're forming fantastic relationships with the people they're working with, and they're getting to know them as people. They're creating and forming bonds and relationships, and we want to take this further. It can't just be quick in and out, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are these places, are they in areas where there's kind of where there's squatter camps, or is it built up areas? Is it right across the board? Where's the situation of these
it's completely entities? Across the board. We're helping orphanages, safe havens, outreach centers, informal settlements, townships. It stretches everywhere from we in Funderbell Park and Dipsuit and Alexandra and Marlborough, Wendywood, all over Honeydew, Kaya Sands. So it stretches far and wide. We're actually even going now we're trying to get Cancer Guide into the rural areas, and we've partnered with EPUP, and Rotary helps us to get EPUP out to the rural areas. There are marginalized communities there that are not being helped at all. In fact, recently we've supplied a place called Nobody, which I'm sure most people haven't heard of. But we were approached by a pastor from a place called Nobody in Limpopo.
And Nobody knows where it is. EPUP.
Exactly, but somebody comes from Nobody, and we're very proud to say we're now helping Nobody, yeah.
So these organizations that are the recipients of the donations, so like Dominic Yomshengu Foundation, do you find that the community steps up to assist at that level? Because, you know, they're recipients. I presume they also want to give back. The only way they can really give back is time and effort.
From my side, the only people that are willing to sort of like give in are the volunteers that are giving their time. Because, well, of course, they've got children there as well. And besides that, well, besides the ports that I'm borrowing from the old ladies, because they used to have these ports, that's all that they can give. But nothing else that they can offer, absolutely nothing, to be honest, because everybody comes to the queues. If you miss a day and say, today we don't have anything, you can see that the faces are so sad that, you know, we're hoping to get something. It's become something that they are now know that every day we're going to have something. At least we're going to sleep with our stomachs having something. And like, you know, nothing at all. So that helps us as well to say, if somebody's going to help us give in, we know that we're going to serve people. We're going to give them something every day, especially the children.
You must have nerves of steel to be able to say no. I mean, that is
absolutely
tormenting.
That's tormenting, yeah. So with whatever we have, well, if we're short of anything, yeah, Glenn is always here helping the can to sort of like source out in here and help in with blankets. Now we're getting into winter. With whatever we have, we need anything that is going to make anybody comfortable during this lockdown or even after, because this place has got so many children. It's got so many youth. And because as they develop from being toddlers into youths, there's nothing to do. So what else to do than to help them or give them a hand up to say, this is what, that way I'm sort of like looking into it abreast to say, after this, what do we do? Let's have like a development, strategy to say, after this, we're going to help you into maybe cooking, into maybe building art, computer studying, libraries. That's where I'm looking into it, to sort of like not always give food, but then say, oh, afterwards, what can we help you with? Like a hand up sort of kind of a thing.
Right.
And a hand up rather than a handout.
Yeah, a hand up rather than a handout, because that's where we feel it's better, because you can give them food and they come every day and then they go, they come every day and then they go. But then we sort of like teach them also to sustain themselves, to say, we've got a garden, the vegetables, these are how they're planted, the fruits, preservatives. That's where I'm seeing myself doing, or leading them into, like, we have plenty of fruits. We're not going to throw them away. We've got plenty of vegetables. Do a nice relish out of that. Preserve it. And then what we've got, more fruits. What do we do with them? Those that are good in computers, helping the kids so that we take them off the streets. Because when they are lounging like this and doing nothing, we are also not helping them not to, to behave well. They are vulnerable. They are prone into practicing other bad stuff as well, which is smoking, drinking, and taking drugs and all that, child pregnancies and teenage pregnancies and all that. So we try to sort of like, my idea is to also keep them off that. They come for food, we speak to them. We teach them how to sanitize. We teach them how to behave well, to be good citizens of South Africa so that we have a better world, because they are the future leaders of tomorrow.
Absolutely. Amazing. Gillian, you've been very quiet, so now I'm going to find out a little bit. I heard that, the indrawing of breath, what's coming next. But Gillian, okay, so fantastic that Planet Fitness has got involved at a level. And I mean, your involvement in this is really to push the fundraising side. Are you looking at other initiatives to try and help in some way, or are you expecting, because now tomorrow morning there's going to be a queue of people wanting you to back their projects, first of all being Q, the Hebrew of David, but and you have helped us in the past, by the way. We have had you as sponsors of some of our events over the years, so we're very grateful for that. But just give us a sense of where you're involved and why you're involved at the level of this particular event. Of course, it's to do with fitness. The staff, I presume, these people who are running or doing these events are staff or people who are associated with Planet Fitness Group.
Yes, Stan, correct. Many of them are staff that have got together. In fact, a lot of the staff members that have worked on this project are staff members of Planet Fitness. Being involved in these kind of projects, we try to work with organizations that we're involved in on a long-term basis, build good relationships with them. Being involved in projects like these for us as a business demonstrates that we as a business, particularly during these unprecedented times, do certainly take an interest in the wider social issues, not just looking at issues that impact profit margins like many do, but looking at the wider interests of the community out there. It also allows us as a company to give back to the community whilst also trying to encourage a fit and healthy lifestyle, which at the moment is really important to fight COVID-19.
The gyms are closed, right? The gyms aren't operating.
That's correct. The gyms are closed at the moment. So it also, these kind of events that we take online also gives us an opportunity to give additional value to the public out there, whilst also raising funds, in terms of helping people, stay fit, keep fit, because there's also been a lot of research over the last couple of weeks, as we know, of how exercise affects the immune system. And most research out there agrees that regular moderate exercise strengthens your immune system and generally speaking helps if your immune system strengthened, helps your body to fight the virus. So that's the angle that we take, not only to build a sustainable relationship with the organization that we're assisting, but also to provide a service out there and to raise awareness about having a good exercise habit, and feeding those benefits of exercise, the physical side and the mental side, because I think those are two areas that have lacked during the COVID-19 pandemic and the lockdown, where people have sat around and the exercise portion of it is also implicated in helping those comorbidities that they talk about. So whilst also giving back to the community from a financial perspective and trying to raise funds, also giving from a physical perspective, raising awareness about having good exercise practices.
Because I saw a statistic the other day that showed that people are not so interested in the gym part of it. In fact, Netflix and DSTV and all of these, MTV, Mnet and whatever, are punting movies and whatever specials and all that. Sales of popcorn have increased, but exercise videos not doing so well.
I would like to jump in there and give you some real life statistics. I checked out the statistics this morning because Planet Fitness have online classes that we do on a daily basis. We've loaded in around 26 different online classes for our members, and non-members. So we're offering those absolutely free of charge. And I had a look at the statistics this morning, and there definitely is a move to a healthy lifestyle, because we've had more than 23,000 people that have logged on to do those classes during, I think the time frame when we loaded them was around about just after lockdown started. We loaded them up around about the 16th of April and up until the end of May last week. We had just over 23,000 people that are actively participating in those classes. So come on, Stan, we're hoping to see your name there too.
I've actually always subscribed to the fact that 78% of statistics are made up on the spur of the moment.
No, I'm going to disagree with you there. So I think carry on, Glenn.
No, carry on.
What we have seen is that people have really taken the exercise portion seriously, because, to be quite frank with you, it is extremely difficult to practice social distancing when everybody's out running on the streets. So it is really difficult for people to actually have that distancing out there. So we have seen a big uptake in the online classes across the board. So, and I guess we're also offering them free of charge.
So people are actually exercising in the street. I do see people running. When they lifted the timing from 9 o'clock to unlimited, you could run at any time, it actually suited me well, because when I did go out and I have to go shopping, etc., and I went before 9, I couldn't drive. There were so many people on the road exercising. But now it's sort of thinned out. It's much easier to get around. So now it's foot traffic and not vehicle traffic.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so we're coming to the end. I just want to now focus on how we do things. So for this event, there's going to be we'll send out a notice. I'm sure you've sent out notices. Where do people go to contact you? Can they contact Planet Fitness for this event on Sunday? And what numbers do you need? Is there a website they can go to? Can you give that to us there?
From our side at Planet Fitness, all the information is loaded onto Quickit. That's Quickit. So it's www.quickit.co.za. And if they look for Ben Morcan, they'll find the area on Quickit to either make a donation or to purchase a ticket to participate on the event.
Okay, and it's an unlimited, so you can accommodate as many, because they're all online using their own technology. And
Absolutely, we can accommodate thousands.
And it's very easy to one click and you can make a donation. Another click, you add an extra zero, and it's very meaningful. So this event that's going to take place is going to help Dominique, who's running an organization. I'm totally in awe. I don't know how he does it. And Dominique, what did you do in your previous life before you came to this? I mean, this is now a full-time job. I don't know what else you can do. I don't know if you work, or give us some background to yourself.
Actually, I'm not working. As I mentioned to you earlier on when we spoke, I do sometimes before the lockdown, I'm a voiceover artist, but I also teach kids. That's my passion, just helping them with the aftercare that I used to do. And that's basically what I do. And I've got the love for cooking. I've got a passion for cooking as well. Nothing else. I used to bake scones and sell them so that I could provide for the kids before Glenn chapped in to sort of help me. That's where I was gotten off from my feet. And at the moment, I'm not working. I'm not doing anything.
So as a voiceover artist, I think High FM, I don't know if the hierarchy are listening, but they always need voiceover artists to do advertising, you know, because the talent at High FM, that's me, is, you know, has got another kind of voice. When you do an ad, you want something, you know, a little bit better spoken, and you sound like you've got a good voice, so I'm sure you could do a good job. They should look at you. And when you talk about scones, you're talking my language. cream and jam.
Cream and jam.
So now I'm hoping to try and guilt the public into donating to the thing, to coming onto this event and making sure that it happens. I take my hat off to Planet Fitness, who are sponsoring it, and for the prizes. And so, Gillian, we know what you do. You're involved with the marketing at Planet Fitness. Do you want to give us a little bit of background to yourself besides that? Personal information? Married, not married, available, or?
I am the head of marketing of Planet Fitness, and I do have a significant background in the social responsibility area. I was a former Mrs. Africa in 2006, so I still conduct a lot of the work that I started at that time. So I'm very familiar with working with organizations such as Dominique, and honestly take my hat off, because it's a thankless job, and and there is an enormous, enormous need out there. So I understand where Dominique's coming from and Glenn. So the need is huge. And I don't think people understand how huge that need is, which has escalated and amplified now during the COVID-19 time, especially with people being in lockdown and not being able to get to that have been significantly marginalized in their communities and not being able to get that help. So yes, that is my background. I'm married. I have two grown children, and I live in Pretoria, and we're looking at trying to start some form of a can here, because there's a significant need as well. I really appeal to the listeners tonight, if they can put an extra zero, as Dan mentioned, on those donations. I know that it will be a significant help for Dominique. If you're feeding and helping 1,000 people a day, you can just imagine the enormous amount of funds that takes to be able to help people in those marginalized communities. So yes, that's my appeal tonight, and a little bit about my background.
Great. Glenn. So Glenn Wallman, you're the brains behind Angel Network, and together with your team doing amazing work. Just give us a bit of background to why you got into it. Where did you come from, and how did you arrive here?
Well, I started the Angel Network 4.5 years ago because the needs were so great by so many. Prior to that, I was running a branch of the Jewish Women's Benevolent for 14 years, and I really do want to say that they do the most incredible work in our community. But there was always at the back of my mind the thought that it's only for our community, and there is a broader community out there. So I just felt there was such a need, and we started operating on social media, and it just took off. And as they say, the rest is history. You know, it's just grown and evolved. And initially we were doing all the nice to do things like Christmas boxes and Easter eggs, and just from people's involvement, our community has been unbelievably supportive. I have to take my hats off to them. They've been incredible in supporting the Angel Network. Can I just quickly add that the cost of a ticket, 80 Rand, to join on Sunday, will be able to feed an adult or a child for 3 weeks, because we can supply them a kilogram of EPUP that lasts 3 weeks per person. So one ticket can feed a person for 3 weeks. So please join so Dominique can feed everybody every day.
So, Glenn, just on that, from the means of contacting you, is the Angel Network. That's a website, which is angelnetwork.co.za or .com, or?
Correct. Yeah, .co.za. It's the angelnetwork.co.za.
And then,
GLYNNE.
And the Gauteng Together, that is a website?
Yes, it's gautengtogether.org.
And they can go on there and see where there are other similar organizations to the Shengu Foundation, which is run by Dominique Shibi, and they can see there if it's in their area, or they can assist in any way. The need is great. So yes, if people are listening, they can do it. The Hebrew Order of David will definitely be exploring the joining up with this and forming a can, which we're going to launch next week. We have the collection facilities. The Hebrew Order of David also distributes to the Jewish community in a large way, but we have over many years, and our history speaks for itself. You can go to the hodavid.org site. It's Hebrew, it's www.hodavid.org. You see part of our history and our activities. But besides that, we also collect three, four times a year. We distribute to the Jewish community over the high holidays. And there's people in the Jewish community also in need, very much so, and it's a growing need. And so therefore, if you take that as a yardstick, it must be growing around the country in every organization, every religion, and every faith, and everybody needs help. So dig deep and give what you can, give more than you can, and I'm using the word can because you can. And I want to say good night and have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for coming on the show, Dominique.
Gillian, thank you so much.
It's been amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan.
Thank you.
The podcast will be distributed. I'll send you the podcast next week as well. You can distribute that as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us, Stan. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night. Thanks.